spiritually. And so, Lord, with open Bibles and open hearts, I pray that you would cleanse our hearts, that nothing would hinder, that we would receive what you have for us in your word tonight. Give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. We love you and thank you and praise you in advance for what you're going to do in all of our lives. You began a good work, and you will be faithful to complete that work in us unto the day of Jesus Christ. And so we love you, Lord, and we thank you for the blessing it is to be here together tonight. Pray for those watching on YouTube as well, that you would bless them, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 15. Jesus and his disciples, if you were with us last Wednesday night, had just crossed over the Sea of Galilee. There was a major storm. You know the story. But now they arrive in the land of Gennesaret, as we'll see in a moment, which is a town of Naphtali on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. Lo and behold, here they come, right behind him, the scribes and the Pharisees from Jerusalem had followed Jesus there. How sad it is that they were following Jesus physically, but they had no idea about following him spiritually. There's a lot of people today that know of Jesus, but do not know Jesus. And to me, one of the saddest verses in all of the Bible is on that last day, when Jesus will say to someone, "Depart from me, you who serve iniquity, I never knew you." You say, wait a minute, didn't he create them? Yes, he created them, but the term to know means to have an intimate relationship with. Yes, they knew of him, but they did not know him. The religious leaders, the teachers of the Jewish law came from the center of Jewish authority, Jerusalem. And what were they doing? They were scrutinizing him. They were trying to trap him. How foolish is that, to try to trap the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us, to try to trap the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And so here in verses 1 and 2, this delegation charges Jesus' disciples with violating their man-made tradition. Check it out. And the scribes and the Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, "Why," I'll use my Pharisee voice, "why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Can you imagine that? Over the centuries, since the return from Babylonian captivity, you know the story, Israel was without the Holy Scriptures. They were held captive by the Babylonians, and they finally returned to the land. And what they did when they returned is they added hundreds of their religious traditions to God's word. Tradition is man-made. Tradition is not given through Scripture by the person of the Holy Spirit. How sad. It's works. Things that people think they need to know God. We see it today. Nowhere in this book does it say that we're to eat fish on Friday. As a matter of fact, God told Peter three times. Peter must have had ADD. Three times he told him, "Take and eat, call nothing unclean." Thank you, Lord, I love that. But what they had done, and what many religions do, is they lived under the kosher law. And so what they did, even as many religions do today, is what they did is they put a burden on man rather than setting us free. I have never been so free in my whole life since I began to walk with Jesus in obedience to his word. And so what we see here is sad. God's law has been replaced by their religious tradition. They considered their religious traditions equal to God's word. That's sad. That's scary. And then there are many religions today that put their tradition, their man-made tradition, on the same level as God's word. Fish on Friday, Ash Wednesday, Nowhere in the Bible does it say, go get ashes on your forehead. I can put a lot of ashes on this forehead. You know, I could really be spiritual. But that's not scripture. And I could lay out a list of things, but I'm not going to point the finger at anybody. My point here this evening is make sure that you do what God's word says. Obey the Holy Scriptures. And as we know, God's word, God's law, God's principles are absolutely perfect. Why? Because they're given by Holy God. You've heard me share many times, God's word is God breathes. It's given by the inspiration of God. God's word never changes. His law does not need additions. We don't need things added to God's word and God's law. But look at verse 2 again. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They're not rebuking Jesus' disciples for transgressing the law. They're rebuking them for transgressing man-made tradition. Sad. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Wow. I think one of the reasons they came at the disciples with this a couple of weeks ago, we saw the disciples going through a grain field. They were traveling from city to city, and God provided for people traveling places where they could glean from the fields. And what they did is they took grain off of the whatever it was in the field. And what they did was they took it like this in their hand and they got the husks off the grain and they ate it. There was no place to wash their hands. And so I believe there were the Pharisees, you know, out there just waiting for Jesus or his disciples to transgress their traditions. And that's why, and that's one of the many reasons they accuse them of eating with dirty hands. They, not God, insisted that before a Jew ate, he had to go through an elaborate cleansing process, washing not just the hands, but all the way up to the elbows. And they would make sure that the elbows were away from their body so that whatever came off of their hands or elbows didn't get on their body. They would be defiled then, you know? And so there they are, accusing these guys of not carrying out the tradition of washing their hands all the way to the elbows. So here they are, the disciples of Jesus, eating bread without going through the ceremonial washings and being accused of transgression. The word transgress is an interesting word in the original language. It means to break or violate the law. It has nothing to do with tradition. Transgression has to do with breaking God's law. In the Old Testament, the term is P-E-S-H-A, Peshah. It means rebellion against God's word. In the New Testament, it's parabasis. It means to trespass. But there was nothing that they were doing that was transgressing or trespassing or rebelling against the law of God. They were eating. They were not breaking, trespassing, or rebelling against God's law, but only man-made tradition. Isn't it wonderful not to have to live under tradition to be free? You know, we know when to wash our hands. You know, before we eat, what did we used to always get told before we ate as kids? Go wash your hands. Anymore, sometimes we're in a hurry, we're in a place where we can't wash our hands, and so we just eat. So let's see what the one the one known as the Word of God, who became flesh and dwelt among us, let's see what the Word of God says about this accusation against the 12. Look at verse 3. I love the Lord. I just love the way he straightens things right out. And one of the many things I notice about him is when people are hurting physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, he looks on them with compassion. But let's see how he treats the hypocrite. He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. For God commands, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." Whoa. "But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God.' Then he needed not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." Look what he calls him. Hypocrite! Exclamation point. "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men.'" Wow. Jesus lays them right out here. He now confronts them with what transgression truly is. Transgressing the law, not man-made tradition. They were actually transgressing God's law with their tradition, putting their tradition before God's word. How sad. God's fifth commandment, I'm sure you're well aware of it, Exodus 20:12, very clearly says, "To honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth." And so Jesus uses a scripture verse, a commandment, a law, to confront them with the way that they break the law. The religious leaders clearly transgress God's law with man-made tradition, and he lays them out right here. Part of honoring their mother and father was to support and care for their parents when they needed help financially. But the religious leaders devised a plan, a man-made tradition, where they could avoid this responsibility. How sad. I'm sure many of us in this room love our parents so much that we would do everything and anything for them, especially when they're hurting financially. The evil tradition that they came up with was called Korban, C-O-R-B-A-N. Anyone who made a Korban vow dedicated money that they had to God's temple, which otherwise would have been given in support to their parents. And this was their excuse for not supporting their parents. How sad. Korban was a ritualistic acceptance of neglecting parents, circumventing the child's responsibility to care for mom and dad. So you see what they did? Yeah. They would say to their hurting parents, "Oh, any money which I have and which is used to support you has been dedicated to God. Therefore, I can't support you." How sad. God says, take that money and take care of your parents. Love, honor, and obey your mother and father. In doing so, the religious leaders were breaking God's clear commandment to honor their father and mother. You see what tradition does? It breaks God's law. It goes against God's word. And that's only one of the many hundreds of rituals and traditions that they came up with that just totally went against God's word. And the scribes and Pharisees are condemning Jesus' disciples for not washing their hands. Can you imagine? The disciples didn't have a hand problem. The Pharisees had a heart problem. The disciples may have had unclean hands, but the Pharisees had filthy hearts because it was against the word of God. Notice, second part of verse 6. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Can you imagine? Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You see, that's what man-made religion is. It's not a relationship. It's lip service. And we see that all the time. People that profess Christ with their lips, but there's no change of heart. Again, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Jesus, right to their face. Don't you love this guy? Right in their face. He calls them hypocrites. And that's one of the biggest put-downs you could ever give a religious person. Hypocrite, hypocrites, just as Isaiah had prophesied. You know what that word means? It means to be an actor, a play actor, one who wears a mask. In those days when they put on plays, they had masks to show whether they were happy or whether they were sad. And they were called a hypocrite, a hypocrite. And Jesus calls them play actors, hypocrites, one who wears a mask, one who does not practice what he preaches. That is so important, isn't it? That today we have people who practice what they preach. And you know what? It's getting worse and worse and worse anymore. Not only do a lot of pastors today neglect the preaching of God's word, but many of them don't practice what they preach. The Pharisees claimed to know a lot about, and this is the way they say it, God. A lot about God. You ever hear people like that? Religious people? God. Yeah. But they did not know God. Lip service and not life service. Why? Because our lips are attached to our hearts. Interesting, isn't it? You ever try to picture that in your mind? Your heart with lips on it? The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. They were teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. How sad. Times haven't changed. Sometimes I look at bulletins from other churches and I look at their websites or whatever. And the message is one or two verses on Sunday morning. Go, what? One or two verses. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Last Sunday we did two chapters. You know, and I keep watching the clock so I don't go over 3 hours. No, I'm just kidding. We need the meat, the milk, and the manna, don't we? We need to be fed. Last week someone said, boy, that message really ministered to me. You know what I told them? I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to me, you know? And that's what happens. I'm not just proclaiming God's word. 3 times I hear it when I'm preparing and when I'm preaching. I'm speaking and listening at the same time, just like you are. And then when I put my head on the pillow at night, I go over and over things and begging God and praying, God, I pray that everything that was said tonight pleases you, Lord. That's the bottom. I'm not here to please man. Years ago, Skip Heitzig from Calvary Chapel, Albuquerque, told me that we have an audience of one. That's my audience right there, not the people. We get to partake together of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. But they were teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. That's why we make sure everybody's got a Bible when we start our Bible study on Sundays, Wednesdays, whenever we get together. Got your Bible? We got some. We just happen to have some for you. So Jesus now calls the multitude to himself. Look at verses 10 and 11. When he, Jesus, had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. I want to repeat that for us here tonight. Hear. Understand. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. He who has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying through God's word. Hear and understand. Look at verse 11. This is heavy duty. I got this circled and outlined and colored. And it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. That's heavy duty. Would you say? Yeah, he lays it out there. It's not the tacos you had today or the double-double with grilled onions. I like In-N-Out because it's got scripture verses on every wrapper, every bag, you know? So you get spiritual food along with physical food. But the bottom line is, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out. And again, with the Pharisees, they were very much concerned with what people ate and what they drank. You have to have the kosher laws. Yet what Jesus says to them basically is, you're not made unclean by eating non-kosher food. It's what comes out of your mouth that makes you unclean. What a lesson that is for all of us. Why? Because you can brush your teeth till your gums are bleeding and floss and gargle and still have a defiled mouth. Or you can have morning mouth, get out of bed with bad breath, but you can have a clean mouth. Yeah, because it's what comes out of your heart. Like first thing in the morning, thank you, Jesus, for a good night's sleep. Thank you, Jesus, for watching over me, watching over my family, praising the Lord first thing in the morning. That's wonderful to do. But it's not what you eat that defiles you. It has nothing to do with whether you have clean hands or dirty hands. Of course, it is nice to have clean hands sometimes when you eat. James 3:11, I love this. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? When you turn on the faucet, do you get salt water and fresh water out of the same spout? No. And it's the same thing with your mouth. In the same chapter, James says, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. He says, my brethren, this ought not to be so. How can you bless God with your lips and turn around and use profanity? How can we bless God with our mouth and turn around and gossip? How can we bless God with our mouth and turn around and tear people down with this tongue that James talks about that's filled with deadly poison? And you've heard me share again a million times what J. Vernon McGee said. This tongue is so evil, that's why God encased it in tea so we can bite on that sucker. And sometimes I have to bite my tongue. I'm not perfect. I get dirt in my heart. We all do. It's so important, isn't it, to keep our hearts clean. We even sing it, create in me a clean heart, O God. Are we just singing this, or is this the desire of our heart to have a clean heart? Constantly, we need to ask God to cleanse our heart, purify our heart. And again, look at verse 11. This is heavy duty. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Wow. I love that verse. I love the fact that it convicts me, and it challenges me to be very, very careful with what comes out of this mouth. Verse 12. Then his disciples came and said to him, I love these guys, they're real. Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he, Jesus, answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and the blind leads the blind. Both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, I love Peter too, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? I'm not going to expound on that verse. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. He names about five or six things here that we all deal with. You ever get evil thoughts? Sometimes first thing in the morning, I'm brushing my teeth, and I get this thought, and I've got a mouthful of toothpaste and rebuking the devil. And we get evil thoughts during the day. We have to be very, very careful because the enemy likes to throw these darts at our mind. Evil thoughts. And it's not just sexual temptation. Evil thoughts can be against other people. Do you know that I pray for Joe Biden every day? But I hear a lot of Christians bashing Joe Biden. Do you know that I pray for Gavin Newsom every day? I hear a lot of people bashing him. We're not to do that. The Bible says, but such were some of you. We were as worthy of punishment and death and separation from God as people that are godless today. What makes us think we're any different? So we have to be very, very careful. And that's why he tells us, you know, it's so important that we have to be very, very careful. And he tells Peter that. I love the fact that Peter asked that question. And Jesus warns his disciples that the Pharisees were tares, weeds. And God doesn't plant weeds. The enemy does. We read that a couple of weeks ago. And that eventually they would be rooted up. He calls them blind as well. They were blind spiritually. And again, that's a term that we need to grasp. People without the Holy Spirit, people that don't know Jesus Christ, people that are not born again, are blind spiritually. They cannot see spiritual things. Such was the case. How sad this is, huh? Such is the case with the religious leaders, scribes, Pharisees. They were spiritually blind, and they were the leaders of God's church. Amazing. Blind. But what does he say? These blind leaders have blind followers, and they're both going to fall into a ditch. Whatever enters, he says, into the mouth is eliminated, digested. That's as far as I'm going to go with that one. But what proceeds from the mouth comes from one's heart. I repeat, verse 19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. I guarantee every single one of us deals with evil thoughts. Driving, someone bumps you in the market, whatever, who knows? There's a list of a million things that cause us to think evil thoughts. But we have to take every thought captive, don't we? Not to get offended and not to allow words to come out of our mouth from the evil thoughts that we get. Also, he talks about murders. Jesus said, if you hate someone in your heart, you've murdered them. Wow. Adulteries. Jesus also said, if a man lusts after a woman, or a woman lusts after a man in their heart, you have committed adultery. Why? Because the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Sin is conceived in the heart. That's where it begins. That's why we have to keep our hearts clean. Fornication, same thing. Fornication, of course, is sex outside of marriage. And how sad it is that a lot of the things that we read in Scripture that God condemns, the wages of sin being death, that we have legalized in America. Fornication in America is called safe sex. I got news for you. The end result, if you do not repent and come to Jesus Christ, is death and separation from God in the lake of fire. I was part of a generation that used the term free love. It wasn't love. It was free fornication. And I used to refer, after I got saved, to America as the fornication nation. Look how we're consumed by sex in America. You can't watch a television commercial without fornication, porneia. Porneia is where we get the word pornography from. Thefts, again, committed in the heart. Covetousness, wanting something someone else has. False witness. False witness has to do with gossip. When you defame someone's character, when you talk behind their back, keep in mind, when you are talking behind someone's back, God is listening. You've heard me say before, as a pastor, I've heard people come to me and start gossiping about someone. You know what I say? Why don't we pray for them, and why don't you begin? Why don't we pray for them, and why don't you start? And all of a sudden, things get real quiet. I got to get to work. I'm late, you know? Bye. Blasphemies. How sad. Out of the heart come blasphemies. Blasphemy is against God. And I was sharing, we were talking at lunch today with Ryan and Sue, talking about when we were raised up. I was not raised in a Christian home. And the name Jesus Christ was not used in a spiritual manner in my house. And it was used all the time. Blasphemy, how sad. But here's the good news. I was the first one God saved in my family, and then God went right through my whole family. My mom, my dad, my brother, my sister. You've heard my story about my brother, 17 years, how I prayed for him. But we have to be very, very careful what we say about God and what we say about spiritual things with this mouth that's connected to our heart. Wow. So, bottom line, these guys are saying about Jesus' disciples that unwashed hands while you're eating defile a man? No. Our mouth defiles us more than anything, would you say? Because it's connected to our hearts. And our hearts get dirty. We need to ask for a continual cleansing of our heart. Cleanse me, wash me, purify my heart is a constant prayer with me. And today, look what people go through, you know, to make their outward appearance attractive. Oh, look how great they look on the outside. Isn't he hot? Isn't she hot? Till they open their mouth. Look at Hollywood. You see the beautiful people in Hollywood, and all of a sudden they open their mouth, and it's like, who is in there? I know who's in there. The devil is in there. God's not concerned with the outward appearance. God's concerned with the heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And again, you want to see an example of a filthy heart and being clean on the outside. It's a lot of people that are involved in Hollywood today. But what is in the heart is more important, especially to God. And Jesus is telling them right now. It's not all about physical dirt. It's about spiritual dirt. It's about the heart. The wonderful thing, and we can all testify of this, can't we? When we become saved, we become born again. God, according to Ezekiel 37 and 38, takes out that old stony heart, and he gives us a new soft heart filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians tells us we are sealed by the person of the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. And guess what? God changes us from the inside out. You ever been wrong about a person's outward appearance? Many times. Ryan, Pastor Ryan, was sharing how he met a guy at the gym, former Hell's Angel, big old long gray beard, the whole thing. And the guy's a born-again Christian. He says, I just love this guy. Jesus is inside. So don't judge the outward appearance. Because some of us have scars from the world out there. We all do. But the all-important thing is, have you had a spiritual heart transplant? Have you been to the great cardiologist who takes that old heart out and gives you a new one? Bottom line, dirty hands don't defile a man or a woman. A dirty heart does. And God wants us to have healthy minds, thoughts, motives, not just healthy bodies. Take care of your body. Do what you need to stay in good health. But the all-important thing, take care of your heart. And we're not talking about heart attacks or any of that stuff. We're talking about keeping your heart clean. Verse 21. Then Jesus went up from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Wow. Interesting, isn't it? Again, this is a test of the heart. Jesus wasn't being rude or mean when he was silent. It says here, Jesus now departs to the area of Tyre and Sidon, which are along the Mediterranean coast, beautiful place. And it's then that he's approached by this Gentile woman, a Canaanite. And if you know from the Old Testament, the Canaanites were cursed by God. Her daughter was demon-possessed. Gee, no surprise with that group of people, with that culture. She was part of this immoral race called the Canaanites, and they were cursed by God. So what does she do? She cries out to Jesus. Look at verse 22 again. Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now, the first thing I noticed when I read this was she approaches him and addresses him as a Messiah, as the Messiah. This is a messianic term. Lord, son of David. So she addresses him in a messianic term. Now, for the disciples here, and again, they're still under construction. They still need a lot of work. They do stuff sometimes that we do. And the disciples were annoyed with this woman. She was a nuisance. And again, that is a challenge for all of us as believers when we're approached by people that are maybe sandpaper people, I call them. A little rough around the edges. But you know what sandpaper people do to you and I? They knock off our rough edges. And here's this woman. This is a messianic term. But they think she's annoying. She's a nuisance. But here, Jesus is silent. And Jesus saying that he came for the lost sheep of Israel was not rejection, okay? But this was a test. What was it a test of? her heart. It was a test of her heart. It was a test of her faith. Was she going to turn and walk away? Say, forget it? What does she do? From her heart, she worships him and calls him Lord. Guess what? She passes the test. Because Jesus Christ is able to look upon the heart. We're not. That's why he says never to judge a person. Jesus Christ looks upon the heart. And she worships him and calls him Lord. Even when it seems as though that there was rejection here. And again, he's not putting her down. He's not rejecting her. But what he's doing, he's testing her heart. And you and I go through testing of our hearts as well, don't we? The Jews called the Gentiles dogs. Americans call one another dog. Hey, what's up, dog? You know? Jesus is not degrading her. What he's using is the Jewish term that they use for Gentiles, call them dogs. Again, it's the heart of the matter. Jesus said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Notice her response again in verse 27. Amazing. Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Wow. This lady's got it together. She's got a heart after God. Wow. She didn't turn and walk away. She wasn't offended. She was persistent. And you know what? That's one thing I think that's missing in a lot of Christians today. We need to persist. We need to persist even when there's a wall, even when there's a hindrance. We need to persist, continue to pray and persist. And notice what she does. She persists. And what she does is she takes the place of an unworthy Gentile, of course, being a Canaanite. She was aware of the situation, but she's not offended. She agrees. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Lord, I would be satisfied, literally is what she's saying, with just a few crumbs from your table. Wow. So true, isn't it? We've seen many people so far in the Gospel of Matthew that just want a little bit of the Lord. The lady that pushed through the crowd just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Yeah, she was bleeding profusely. Oh, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. This lady here, only if I could have just a crumb from the master's table. Wow. You know the amazing thing about this? We today as believers have a full meal of the bread of life, Jesus Christ. We have the ability to be filled with Jesus Christ every day. The bread of life. Yeah. She passed the test. Amazing. She wasn't going to give up. Her faith was rewarded. Another thing I noticed as well, it was through this tragedy in her daughter's life of being demon-possessed, I believe, that mom came to know the Lord and seek the Lord. That can happen today. A lot of times with parents, many times it's through the difficult times in our lives, through the trials, the tests, the troubles and tribulations, God uses those things to draw people to himself. I was at the lowest point of my life when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to lay out the list of the dirty details. But praise be to God that it was through that that I got saved. And the same holds true today. And if you're going through a really, really hard and desperate time, hold on. God's going to do something through that situation that's going to blow you away. Because my Bible tells me that all things work together for good for those who love God. How much is all things? That shows me the bummers as well as the blessings. And sometimes in my own personal life, the bummers work more good in my life than the blessings do. So she passed the test. Her faith was rewarded. And I believe her daughter had a lot to do with that. The matter of her heart was the heart of the matter. Again, look at verse 28. Look what Jesus says when she talks about the little dogs just wanting crumbs from the master's table. Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Wow. You know what I think? And this is my own opinion. One of the greatest compliments that we could ever receive from the Lord was that our faith is great. We don't walk by feeling. We don't walk by circumstances, riches, possessions, all that stuff. No, we walk by faith. And don't you really deep down in your heart pray that God would say the same thing to you and I, that our faith is great. Her faith was great. And her daughter was healed at that very hour. Don't you love it? This little doggy would have been satisfied with just a few crumbs from the bread of life. And look at us. We have a full meal. Great is your faith, Jesus says. Verse 29. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them Joe Coleman, the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet. And look what he does. He heals them. You see, he has a heart of compassion. Whenever he saw the multitudes, whenever he saw the lame and the blind and the mute and the maimed, people with all sorts of physical problems, spiritual problems, mental problems, their pain was in his heart. That's what compassion is. You never see Jesus sending people away. The only times he sends people away sometimes are the disciples. Go away and rest. Go away and take a break. And he himself at times went away. But he healed them, it says. And so the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Wow. What a ministry. And again, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Not only does the Lord look at our heart, but we look at his heart. Doesn't it just bless your socks off to know God's heart towards you, every one of us? He loves you. He adores you. And those words aren't enough for his feelings towards you and I. He willingly and lovingly went to that cross on Calvary and was brutally murdered and beaten and marred more than any man, spit upon. His beard was ripped out of his face. The Bible says he was marred more than any man for you and for me. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Notice verse 32. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself. They're going to go, wait a minute, didn't we just read this? He said, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." Wow. Would you follow Jesus for 3 days without anything to eat? Then his disciples said to him, and doesn't this blow you away? Didn't we just go through this? "Where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to feed such a great multitude?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7 and a few little fish. That shows that this is a different situation than when he fed the 5,000. He had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Here it says he has 7 and a few little fish, pollywogs, sardines. So he commanded the multitude to sit out on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up this time 7 large baskets. Last time it was 12, full of the fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children, so you can figure probably 8,000 people this time. And he sent away the multitude after he fed them, not only physically but spiritually. He got into the boat and came to the region of Magdala. Wow. Again, we see the heart of Jesus for hurting people, don't we? Jesus still allows us to bring hurting people to him today. Amazing. And so here we see the feeding of 4,000 people. That's a lot. That's a man. And here on another occasion, Jesus feeds 4,000 and the disciples are perplexed. And again, be very, very careful not to point the finger at the disciples. What's wrong with you guys? He just fed 5,000. He just, you know. But you know what? We do the same thing. God takes us through trials and tests and troubles and tribulations. God does miraculous things in our lives continually, but yet we still doubt. Man, why? Because we look at ourselves rather than keeping our eyes upon Jesus. And Ryan just sang tonight, turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's a wonderful song. That's a reminder to all of us. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. But yet here the disciples are perplexed. And we too forget what the Lord has done. Amazing, isn't it? Where can we find enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? There's no McDavid's around here. Yeah, do you know there's no McDonald's in Israel? They're called McDavid's. Seriously, I got a picture on my phone if you want to see it. McDavid's. Ronald McDavid. But they, and again, we have to check our hearts, don't we? Because the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. We have to be very, very careful not to judge the disciples. Here they are. It's been 3 days this time. It doesn't tell us how long the 5,000 went before they were fed, but it tells us 3 days here. Can you imagine? 3 days of 4,000 men and women and children following Jesus Christ because they wanted what he had. And lo and behold, in his compassion, in his love and his grace and his mercy, he felt compassion for them, and he sits them all down and he feeds them all until they're full. And again, you know, me, I like to put myself between the lines of Scripture sometimes. What must the bread have been like that they were passing out? It doesn't get any fresher than what Jesus Christ gave out to the multitudes, the thousands of people. How about the fish? Man. And again, look at the Lord. Why do we waver? Why do we doubt? Why are we perplexed? Because we forget at times. We're human. It's human nature at times. And so we need to learn tonight, don't we? The bottom line, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And we've seen a lot of things tonight that pertain to the heart. Here the disciples have a heart problem. They have doubt in their heart. They're perplexed in their heart. That's where it came from. And guess what? It led to their hands. Their hands, what are we going to feed these people? And Jesus took care of the matter. Bottom line, as we close, keep your heart clean. Keep your heart pure. How long does that take? That quick. Lord, cleanse my heart. Lord, purge my heart. Lord, wash my heart through the precious blood that you shed for me. And your heart's clean right on the spot. It's not human tradition. No. It's Scripture, God's Word, that says if you confess your sin, I will be faithful and just to forgive us for all of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. And we've seen many instances tonight that deal with the heart. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? It's not about dirty hands. It's not about Jesus sending us away like the woman with a demon-possessed daughter. Like the multitudes, he had compassion upon them. Like the 4,000, he had compassion upon them. And, you know, sometimes we just need to be reminded of the one who loves us and gave his life for us. He's there. He loves you. He adores you. And again, those words aren't enough for the way he truly feels about us. And one day you're going to find out face to face, aren't you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I don't know about my brothers and sisters here tonight, but I'm challenged again and convicted again to keep my heart pure. Please help me, Lord, to keep my heart pure because my heart leads to my mind, my lips, my hands, my feet. And so, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit that when our hearts get dirty, that we would clean them through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As we confess our sin to you, and you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. So, Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this midweek meal. Thank you for the beautiful worship tonight, and thank you for the fellowship. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you that we are one more day closer to seeing you face to face. And what a glorious day that will be. In the meantime, help us to press on, not to give up, but to keep our eyes upon you, Lord. We love you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. And the Lamb seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Who is like him, the Lion and the Lamb seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints sing praise. Who is like him, the Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints sing praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints sing praise.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.